Hello all, and welcome to Crime Kooks with your hosts Emily and
Rachel, where we talk about crimes and perpetrators. In this episode, we will discuss Jeffrey Dahmer, a cannibalistic serial killer who eluded the police for many years until...
Well, you don't get to hear that part yet, so let's just get right into it. But actually, before we start, we have a special guest with us here today. Steven, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Steven.
Great introduction.
Alright, so Dahmer, okay, he's a lot. First of all, he was 6'1".
Okay, just gotta, like, do height right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean...
That's how he got so many people in his apartment.
I mean,
like,
oh,
there's like, whoa, he's right. Tall, that's kind of hot.
Okay. And he died at the age of 34 in a correctional facility. But, he's a lot of stuff. He's a necrophiliac, he's a serial killer, he's a sex offender, he's a cannibal, you know, the whole nine yards. But some
of everything.
Yeah, he does got a little bit of everything. Some of his nicknames were Milwaukee Cannibal and Milwaukee Monster.
I like that one. Milwaukee Monster.
Milwaukee Monster.
Why does it make me think of the Loch Ness Monster?
Oh, no, it kind of does, though.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's the Auk in the, like, Milwaukee.
Okay, don't have to get that in depth,
okay.
But okay.
Okay. So, in his early life, he was born in Milwaukee on May 21st, 1960, to Lionel and Joyce Dahmer. He was described as a happy and energetic child. Until...
Why are you laughing?
Because he was like, child.
Until he was 4 years old when he got a surgery to correct a double hernia. He began much more, after that, he was much more reserved and detached. So, I mean, you gotta wonder, where's the hernia again?
That's not a part of the body. Is that what you were thinking?
The hernia, hold on. The hernia is not a part of the body.
No, it's like a...
To correct a double hernia.
Hermia?
Isn't a hernia,
cancer? Is it?
I think it's cancer, right?
I honestly kind of don't know.
Emily, you're the one in PTLW.
That's not important. Okay, but I just want to say you read that like a psychology report. You became very cold and detached. So deep.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I tried. But yeah, so after that, years pass, and he becomes, big on the drinking. You know how it is. Even before high school, and then throughout high school, it only got worse. However, by some, not miracle, plenty of people do it, he graduated in 1978. So,
hold on, can you, like, imagine, like, drinking before you get to high school? Like, I tried champagne, it's not good. Like, I know beer's a little different, but, like...
You really just confessed to that, didn't you?
Listen, I was able to convince my mom to do it. I almost puked on some nice carpet.
It was only a sip, anyways.
Yeah. What? Just deciding to comment now?
Yeah.
What about you, Steven? What are your thoughts on it?
I'm searching up a hernia.
Up the hernia?
Well, it's in, a bulging of an organ or tissue through an abdominal
It is
organ.
In the body!
Yeah. I never said it wasn't in the body, I said it wasn't a part of the body.
Oh.
Herniated loop of intestine.
Okay,
so
you know...
So it's like a bulging of your intestines.
Okay, this is like, we don't need to get hung up on the facts here.
Okay.
Alright. Anyways... he tried to go to college, but he was forced to drop out because of his alcoholism, which, you know, never mind.
Okay.
So because of this, his dad made him enlist in the army, where he became a combat medic in Germany from 1979 to 1981. Just kind of interesting considering he was in the army, you know, it's like part of their thing is like killing people, and then he just started killing people for like a living.
So yeah, he's been killing all of his life
then. Yeah.
Basically.
But he's a medic. He heals people. He's a medic in the army.
Yeah, but some of them are still trained to kill.
Of course, yeah.
I medics mean, could attack. If all your medics died, who's going to help everyone else?
No one. That's the point.
Exactly. They need to be able to fight back. But in spring, he returned home to Ohio, hadn't fixed his alcoholism, and he was discharged from the military. So.
That sucks.
He hasn't had the best of both worlds yet.
Was it an honorable or dishonorable charge from the military?
I imagine it would be dishonorable.
I was thinking that, yeah.
Because, I don't know. I feel like...
Did it say why it was dishonorable?
No,
it didn't really get into that much detail. I just think that it was probably dishonorable, though. I mean, he was a killer, and he... I think it's
was he a killer while he was in the army?
Everyone's kind of a little bit of a killer when they're in the army.
I mean, like, was he doing the killings while he was a medic in the army?
Thank you for asking that. No. Actually, in, like, high school, I believe it was, his first murder was at the age of 18 of Stephen Hicks.
Oh, boy.
And he didn't kill again until 9 years later, but Stephen Hicks, it was just after he had graduated high school in June of 1987, and he was the man was a hitchhiker, not Dahmer. And Dahmer took him to his parents' house and got Hicks drunk there, and, you know, he got drunk. And then when the man tried to leave, Dahmer hit him on the head and strangled him with a barbell. Then he dismembered the body and put the body parts in plastic bags and buried the bags behind his parents' home. So they could have found out about that one.
Why would he do that?
He's trying to leave the
party. Why do murderers do anything?
Actually,
well,
you did.
Psychology behind it.
Yeah, what you just said is actually true. I think, I believe Dahmer later admitted that the reason he did kill Stephen Hicks is because he was trying to leave.
Mm-hmm.
It was because he was trying to leave, and I don't.
And he didn't want him to leave, I guess?
He just didn't want to be lonely. You can't blame the man.
I'm
the best defense attorney out there.
You are.
I can defend any criminal.
She was defending Bonnie and Clyde last... She's defended a lot.
Yeah, but, I mean...
He had 17 victims that were both men as well as children. All male. And then he, for the most part, he would find them at gay bars, malls, and or bus stops. And then lure them to his home with the promise of either sex or money.
Wait.
So he was homosexual then?
I'd imagine so.
Yeah, because I wouldn't think you just go, yeah.
Yeah, that might have been another reason behind it. He already had, like, okay. So this was in the 1970s to the 1990s. And, you know, we've become gradually more accepting of other sexualities. But back then, we weren't, so it could have been a fight against, you know, he was mad about it.
And that's why he killed all those men?
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's, I mean, that could be a part of it. I honestly don't know.
It doesn't necessarily have to be for that. Like, it could have been that he was mad that he couldn't be with them and have it accepted by society. And so maybe he felt like he was doing them a favor or something.
That,
I don't know.
It actually makes a kind of sort of twisted sense, and I'm scared that you thought of that.
He was trying to make love to Hicks or something? And, like, he was trying to leave. He didn't want him to leave. You know?
Yeah.
That would make sense. Yeah.
And then when we brought up the thing about, the man just didn't want to be lonely. And
poor
so,
guy.
I mean... Did we just solve the case?
I think we just solved the case.
We solved the case.
We solved it.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But he was always careful to make sure that they were travelers or borderline criminals.
So they wouldn't be missed?
And no one would look for them.
That's true. Well, wait. Wouldn't you look for borderline? So, like, they're only petty crimes. Exactly. So, like, whatever.
And then the people who did know them, who were, like, bugged by them, they aren't going to be like, oh, where did this person go? They're going to be like, thank goodness, this person's finally leaving me alone. You know?
Yeah.
So, that happened. He would also give the victims alcohol and then lace it with drugs, and then he would strangle them.
Yes. Like, he'd have to be pretty... I feel like that would be really suspicious. I know this was, like, the 1970s, but, like, buying the specific types of drugs that wouldn't kill someone when mixed with alcohol, that could also have the agencies to, like, you know, make a pass out.
You know, I totally understand that, but, like, clearly he was very alcoholic. So, like, if you need to be on meds, and he's not going to stop drinking, and they aren't going to let him, you know, kill himself... So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Moral of the story, don't take drinks from strangers at parties.
It wasn't at a party. It was at his house.
Well, house party, I don't know.
House party.
House party.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, why were they there then? Just hanging out, I guess?
He invited them.
Yeah.
Were for sex. They're for sex. And others
gotta get
there.
In the mood.
So that kind of party, I see.
Others were for money.
Okay.
Is that how he got the kids? Because I feel like if you're like, hey, you want to have sex with me to a kid, I feel like the kid would be like,
yeah, sure, let's go do it. You're like, what?
Right.
No, that wouldn't happen.
You know, he might have actually started it with kids because he says that his compulsion for necrophilia and murder began at the age of 14 when he was still technically a child himself.
That's so young.
So, like, maybe... He's trying to relate in some sense. And supposedly, whenever you drink, like, a lot, just like with drugs, your brain stops aging. So while he could be 18, since he didn't start until, you know, he was 12 or something, his brain could still be, like, 12. So he's attracted to other 12-year-olds. You know what I mean?
I suppose that could make sense. That's so weird.
Because it's like, whenever you're 12, you have a crush on another 12-year-old, not on a 60-year-old man.
The 60-year-old man may have a crush on you.
Is that like saying all sex offenders are alcoholics, though?
No.
Yeah, exactly. That's...
It just could be a reason, because he is an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Yeah. But... you go.
Yeah. Jesus, I can't even talk. So as we know, a lot of his specific MO, we do know that he really liked to dismember the bodies, and he liked to keep photos of them, and he would keep those photos as souvenirs, and I believe they were all, like, Polaroids, and he had them, like, all draped around his apartment.
They were Polaroids.
Yeah. Yeah, that's because it had that creepy effect. Polaroids are way creepier, especially...
Polaroids are creepier, but also, like, in an aesthetic, Polaroids are cute, but, like, in... The sense that we're talking,
they're
really creepy.
Yeah.
They're really creepy. But, like, he would also, you know, we mentioned necrophilia, which is committing sexual acts towards a dead body.
He wanted some dead booty.
And so he would...
I can't even respond to that. I don't even know what to say.
It's... And, he's a necrophilia.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Okay.
He's into that kind of stuff.
Okay.
I don't know. He's dead. You can't really ask him why he's into that.
You're not wrong. He is dead.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, yeah, so he would do that. And his crimes, they lasted from 1978 to
1991. That's a... How long is that? I can't math.
91. You guys talk while I do that.
Okay. That would be like, oh my god, why can't I do this? This is simple math. Like
13 years?
13, yeah, that would make more sense.
13, because you add 3 to get the 91, then 10.
Alright, so it lasted for 13 years. That's actually a pretty good run for a serial killer. I mean, I know the police weren't as efficient back then, but like, that's... Not half bad, I gotta be honest. But, yeah. Anyways, so his first murder, as we know, was when he was 18, but his second murder happened in September of 1987. It was Stephen Tuomi. That's a weird last name.
A lot of Stevens.
Yeah, he had a thing for that.
For you, Steve. Jeez. Look, maybe he would have been attracted to you.
I'm changing my name now.
But, so what they did is they rented a hotel room together and they drank. And then the next day he woke up to find Steven dead. He claims he didn't have any memory of what happened the night before. But,
liar.
It doesn't really matter considering after he found the dude dead, he got a large suitcase and used it to transport the body to his grandmother's basement. Which, there, he chose to dismember the body and then did sexual acts towards it.
So it doesn't matter if he didn't kill him or not, he still did all that stuff.
Exactly. Which, after that, he then disposed of the remains, and then he murdered two other people in the same basement before his grandma kicked him out for his drunkenness. Which, clearly the alcohol is just giving him a lot of problems.
How do they know he did sexual acts to the dead, dismembered body?
Autopsies, probably. They, like, were able to, you know, they can do that, they can find this kind of stuff in autopsies, whether they were sexually assaulted. Also,
like, you can find semen
on, like, yeah,
canal and stuff like that.
Okay, also with the grandma, she kicked him out for being drunk, but she didn't kick him out for, like, oh, I don't know, maybe killing, like, three different men, you know, taking them home in the night and then not seeing them walk out.
See, I'm very curious as to whether she had, like, some form of disability, like she was deaf or hard of hearing, or like she was blind, and so she didn't know when it was happening or see any of it, or if he did it when she wasn't home.
Yeah.
Because I feel like after a while, you'd be like, huh, that red stain wasn't there before. Then you'd be like,
you spill some red paint?
Did you spill some red paint? Yeah.
Honestly, you might believe it. But also, some drunks hurt themselves quite a bit. Not on purpose, it's just from all the stumbling and all that, so she could also probably have assumed it was just
injury. Yeah. So that makes four murders, so we're pretty far in. Not really, he killed a lot of people. But his fifth murder occurred in March 1989 in the base, and he used the basement again. So this is like a crime hotspot for him. He really likes his basement.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably pretty nice. I mean, secluded, you know, kill a lot of people in there.
I imagine it was an unfinished basement. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of like electrical in Among Us. You just kill a lot of people in there.
That was a good one. That was a good one, Steve.
Yeah, it was a good one. I just repeating your joke louder. Because I'm funnier.
Honestly, though, it is kind of like electrical, only minus the fact, you know, the vents.
Can't vent out of there.
See, that's the thing, though. Why do you think so many people kill an electrical?
This isn't about
two parts, and it's also secluded. Like
this isn't about Among Us, so, I mean, there are some correlations.
He'd be the imposter, though.
Okay.
It's kind of miming up, though, like, uncomfortably.
Okay.
Is Among Us based off of Jeffrey Dahmer?
Okay. Question mark? Everybody, stop. No. Stop. Fifth murder. The victim was Anthony Sears, so not a Steven. So that's probably pretty good.
But that makes you feel good.
Yeah. Okay.
He was an aspiring model. What he did is he brought the victim to his grandma's basement. You know how it is. And then he drugged him and strangled him. You know, Dahmer's M.O., which is an M.O. is a way of operating, just to be clear.
Modus operandi. Gotta use the Latin. Sounds creepier and better.
Oh, yeah. And then he would also sodomize and photograph the body. During that time, he was actually awaiting his sentencing for a sexual assault case against a 13-year-old boy. And the charges that had been claimed were sexual exploitation and sexual assault. He did plead guilty and said that the boy looked much older.
I feel like he just did that so he could kind of get out of it. Because a lot of people, if they plead not guilty and they're found to be guilty, they'll get a higher sentence.
Exactly.
So he wasn't entirely stupid.
Exactly.
Also, sodomize. I feel like I know that word, but I can't quite remember.
It's a form of sexual act.
Okay.
So that's all you really need to know about
that. Yeah, we're not going to emphasize that.
No. But another one of his victims, he actually decided to start experimenting with the disposal. And what he did is he drilled a hole into this person's head while they were alive after he had drugged them and poured acid into the hole to slowly get rid of the brain.
Oh, this is like the sex zombies, right?
Like, what?
I thought he was the one who did that. Like, he tried to make, like, mind slaves or something.
I don't think so.
Like, I swear I read something about that. Maybe it's just Wikipedia or something. Something crazy. But that's just a theory. So.
A game theory.
Thanks for watching.
But, Steven, you know, just take a quick time here. What are you thinking of this guy so far?
I don't know, man. Sounds...
Speak up.
Really scary, though.
Yeah.
Like, scary?
What?
Dang.
I know. I don't like how many Stevens he killed, especially because I'm a Steven, yeah.
Well, he's dead, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. Well,
I mean...
We were talking about those zombies, though. That's not something... Ooh.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't know if that's actually true or not. That could just be...
Oh, the acid in the brain, though. That's so...
I'm pretty sure he was only doing it to try and get rid of his memory so he could convince him to stay. Because I believe he even said that his intent was not to kill this dude.
He didn't want to be lonely. Poor guy. Well, so bad for him.
No.
I probably shouldn't be caught saying that on recording.
No.
It's okay.
But he had spent 10 months in prison for fondling a 13-year-old boy in 1988 and offering him $50 to pose nude for pictures.
So, is this the same kid as mentioned earlier? The other 13, you know, he's on trial for?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And he was put on probation, but his caseworker never visited him at home, and the agent was overworked, so this requirement was changed.
So he didn't have to visit him? Or did he just, like, not do it?
It says he was overworked, so I think he was told not to do it. They, like, made an exception.
That's, like, so dumb.
Exactly.
Like, how could you actually just do that?
Exactly. But the reason this links together is in May, when the police officers were called by two women, they found a naked, bloodied boy on the street. And
in the middle of the street, just lying there, or like,
yeah,
that's no, not his grandma's
I don't know. what I do know is, the woman believed was Dahmer, had convinced the police that the boy was his partner, a romantic partner, and so the police decided to not investigate.
But this is a child we're talking about. With like, what, he's like 40 now. Like, isn't that a little sus?
It is like, a little sus.
Okay, that just seems like...
Well, this isn't the 13-year-old kid, though. I don't know how old this kid was.
Okay, but still, it did say it was a kid, so I feel like that's like 15 or 16 tops.
Yeah.
That's still, like, really young.
But what's really interesting about it is it was the 14-year-old boy was the brother. So the dude who was wandering around was 14. And, he was the brother of the kid Dahmer molested in 1988.
Wait, so this kid was 14? We know his age?
Yeah.
Okay, so he is 14.
So, it's 1 year older. That's a thing.
So, he was the brother of that 13-year-old kid from 1988?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just, like, trying to keep up here, so I have to, like, keep repeating what you're saying. Right. Sorry.
No, it's totally fine. But three police officers were suspended for pending an investigation into why they did not rescue the kid.
Yeah, because, like, if you see a young kid with someone, he says he's his partner, I feel like you would do something. Like, you wouldn't just let that slide.
Exactly. But he was also really well known for eating the dude, his victim's flesh.
That is completely random.
Delicious.
Like, you just going from that to eating the flesh. I mean, that's another thing he did do, though.
I've heard it tastes like beef. That's what I've been told.
Okay. By who?
Oh, the internet. Not from anyone I know.
This is the internet we're talking about.
The internet knows everything, guys.
No, it's you're right. Just, it does. There's plenty of cannibals on the internet, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, okay, that was completely random.
It tastes like beef, though.
Yeah, doesn't it have, like, the same amount of fat and everything in it, too?
Why is this important? Like,
it's not. I was just bringing it up.
Like, it's so random. You go into, like, how the Laotian boy...
Did you eat it raw, or did you cook like, it? You know,
this
is
sad. Probably raw, because this is Dahmer we're talking about. But this is so random. I guess it's another part of his M.O., probably more rare,
It
though.
Is. It's one of like, his rares. Rarer M.O.'s.
Yeah.
Raw beef.
But, coming to an end, he was captured in 1991 and sentenced to 16 life terms.
Talk about overkill. I mean, he deserved it, but...
In the correctional facility, he was killed by another inmate named Christopher Scarver in 1994. He was finally taken down when Tracy Edwards, who was 32, was running down a Milwaukee street in handcuffs and told the police that Dahmer was trying to kill him. Dahmer was arrested without a struggle, and what had happened is Dahmer offered to get the keys for the handcuffs and remove them at, and then at that time, Edwards said that the knife that was used to threaten him was in the bedroom. And so, on the way to the bedroom, the officer saw the Polaroids of all the dismembered bodies and was like, okay, yeah. We got a bigger issue here.
So this is, like, let's just take this step by step. So I was like, okay, that kind of confused me a little bit. Like, I understand what you're saying. So basically what happened is he invited him over and then basically, like, took him hostage and handcuffed him.
And
what did you just say?
I said kinky.
Kinky.
Why'd you say it?
Nice.
We can cut it out, Steven.
Nice, okay.
No, don't cut it out. I like that.
Oh, God.
Okay. So, is that basically, like, what happened? Or is it, like, trying to... Or is it actually...
I'm not sure why he was in handcuffs. It could have been, for numerous reasons, like, just trying to keep him there. Especially since he said he was being threatened. Mm-hmm. But, you know, once you're out, man. So, he was running, and you were like, why are you in handcuffs? And he was like, this dude trying to kill me.
This dude trying to kill me, bro.
This dude, he's trying to murder me.
So, like, I guess Dahmer, that was pretty dumb of Dahmer, just, like, leaving the knife in the other room.
Right. We don't even know if he actually left it there. All we know is he was stupid enough to leave Polaroids of the dead bodies lying around.
No, but it said, the Edwards did say something about that, though, I thought.
He did say that, but that's what the police were on their way to go look at whenever they saw the Polaroids.
That's true. Why didn't he just put him away? He already knew the guy was going to run away and he couldn't catch up to him. That just seems really dumb.
Exactly. Which is why I don't... He probably... I mean, the kid... Not the kid. I don't know how old this kid... What?
He's 32.
Oh, yeah. 30. I'm so stupid.
You're
this man, you know, once you're gone, you don't know what's happening. So he very well could have had it in the bedroom and just didn't anymore. But the point is, there were Polaroids just laying around. And you gotta wonder, did he have those out whenever Tracy was there and Tracy just didn't notice? Or was Tracy like, did he take those out after Tracy ran away?
I feel like that would be really, I mean, he was kind of unhinged, so he might have done that.
Done that. Which one is that? I explained two different scenarios.
I mean,
she
like...
knew, but she was keeping it on the down low, you know?
It's a he.
It's a he.
Oh,
okay. I meant, like, the whole...
At least it is...
Crazy, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
He had a thing for men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about this earlier.
Men and boys.
But yeah, so, what I was saying about the unhinged thing, I meant, like, he took the Polaroids out and put them on. Like, after Tracy had already ran out.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah. Okay, that was just, like, really confused me when you first explained it, because, like, yeah.
I don't know, I totally get it.
Like, no, that makes sense now, like.
Mm-hmm. He actually said he felt bad, and he briefed the authorities on his M.O., which we already discussed earlier, but he went a bit more into depth. He said He would lure men from shopping malls and bars by offering them money to pose for pictures, and then after drugging them, he would strangle them and dismember the bodies. Many times he boiled their heads to remove the flesh, and in one case he had done a sexual act with a cadaver.
Those are like the medical student things, those like fake dead bodies that you work on. Those are what those are, right?
I don't know.
Like, true. I feel like they're in medical school. I know I've heard of them, but like, I never get the right definition. You guys might want to look that up. Oh, of course, you're looking it up.
Steven's got it.
He's a resource.
Cadaver. But yeah, I find Dahmer to be very intriguing.
I feel like it's very contradictory that he killed 7 people and then he expressed remorse, but I guess that was him kind of just giving up and maybe trying to get a little bit of a plea deal or something.
And that was 17 people, hon.
Yeah, but like 17 is still a lot.
I know, but you said 7, and I was
I said 7?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm losing my marbles. I can't.
Yeah.
A cadaver is just a corpse.
Okay, yeah, I knew, okay. Thanks. I totally knew that. Yeah.
You know, it actually could still be that, though, because, like, if they use actual dead people who, like, were like, I devote my body to science, and so they're teaching people to use science.
I think that is true. That I knew I've heard it before, so it's probably something like that.
Well, I definitely thought Jeffrey Dahmer was an interesting character, to say the least.
You could say that. I mean, yeah, at least he was passionate about what he did, right?
Well, you really shouldn't defend that.
Passion is always a good thing to have in any profession.
Passion's a good thing to have in a profession, but murder isn't a profession. He didn't get
paid. Yes, it is.
Actually, did he get paid for it?
But it's doing something he loves. It's work. It's hard work. You gotta give the man...
I mean, he got away with 17 of them.
13 years.
You gotta give the man credit for going that long.
For going that long.
Yeah, I mean, that's impressive, yes. Honestly.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But
yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us on Crime Crooks.
You just gotta say goodbye to them like that. Just like, not even, just like, thanks so much for watching. Let me do it. I'm better.
Thank you for watching.
Thanks so much for watching, and I'll see y'all later. Bye.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us on Crime Crooks, guys. Now I'm gonna do the real outro, because y'all know I'm the best at this. Tune in next time to hear about Ted Bundy. This is Emily,
and I'm Rachel,
and don't be stupid and stay safe.